and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have another fine Studio One production, starring two of the 20th century's finest actors, Robert Mitchum and Mercedes McCambridge. The script is adapted from a novel by Hamilton Basso. A young anthropologist takes his new bride from her home in a New England college town to visit his relatives in a southern bayou. Mercedes McCambridge and Robert Mitchum's performances will fascinate listeners in Studio One, Wine of the Country, first broadcast May 11th, 1948 on CBS.
Tonight, Mr. Robert Mitchum stars in Wine of the Country from Studio One at CBS.
I believe you neglected my after-dinner kiss. Does this mean, woman, that you no longer love me?
Don't talk like that.
You're my girl.
I'll always be your girl.
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great novels, stories, and plays in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Towns, like men, are often blown by the winds of chance. Tonight, we're concerned with two towns. First, there is Chadhurst, handsome in a green evening of elms, its white New England houses nestling in strict tranquility. Chadhurst tries to remember what is gone, but it cannot. Then there is Three Crow Corners in the south. It sleeps and dozes and yawns. The past is not past. Yesterday is today, and it too cannot remember. We're also concerned with Tate Ravenwill, a young anthropologist who comes from the south to study at the Northern University of Chadhurst. There he meets Ellen Prescott, passionate and tormented, and her cousin, the gentle Catherine. These are the people of Hamilton Basso's powerful novel, Wine of the Country. And heading the cast of our version for listening of Wine of the Country, we have with us in Studio One tonight one of the newest and most individual personalities of Hollywood, Mr. Robert Mitchum. With Mr. Mitchum, you'll be hearing Mercedes McCambridge as Ellen Prescott, Connie Lemke as Catherine, and Everett Sloan as Uncle Jack. Pleased to begin.
Ellen, hello.
Catherine. Were you waiting up for me?
Darling, it's so late. We were worried. Where have you been?
Around town. With a friend.
Might have phoned.
Oh, what could happen to me in Boston?
I was afraid you were stuck somewhere in all the snow.
So you've been sitting here in the hall waiting for me? Oh, really, Catherine, when will you realize that I'm perfectly capable of taking care of myself?
I wasn't sitting here waiting for you. I was in the living room when I heard your taxi stop at the door. Glad to hear you talking with someone that he brought you home.
I won't tell you who it was, if that's what you're after. No one's business who I was out with tonight or any other night.
I didn't mean that, Ellen.
And now, if you're quite finished with your questions, I'll go on up to my room.
No, don't go upstairs. Not yet.
Why not? You feel quite all right, don't you? Of course I feel all right.
Then come into the library. We have a guest I want you to meet.
A guest? One of Uncle Anthony's students?
Ellen, you'll be fascinated by this one. His name's Ravenwill.
Another anthropologist, I suppose.
Naturally. But a most unusual one, and quite specially handsome. He's just come back from the South Sea.
How romantic.
It really is. He's going to write a book about it and stay here in Chadhurst until he completes his research at the college. Oh, please come in for a little while.
All right.
I suppose, Dr. Prescott, that you find my conclusion rather far-fetched.
Well, not exactly far-fetched, no. Oh, Ellen, Ellen, come in, my dear. Ellen, this is Mr. Tate Ravenwill, my niece, Ellen Prescott.
How do you do?
Hello.
Please go right on with what you were saying, Mr. Ravenwill.
Yes, what was this conclusion Uncle Anthony would find so far-fetched?
Well, from my studies, I've reached the conclusion that Polynesian culture degenerated because the people of the islands lost faith in their gods.
Oh, yes, faith.
Oh, now, Ellen, As I said, I hardly think that a far-fetched or even unusual conclusion. All through history, you'll find civilization after civilization which decayed and disappeared because the people no longer possessed a faith to cling to.
What you're really saying, sir, is that modern man has become a confirmed skeptic. Our skepticism has passed the stage of being healthy because it's led us to deny the real existence of anything. Whether we like it or not, I'm afraid we must admit that the cause of this confusion is the very thing we had hoped would solve our problems for us, increasing knowledge.
Knowledge cannot possibly cause confusion, Mr. Ravenwell, unless we go to it expecting to be handed ready-made answers to our problems. It's essential to realize that knowledge does not provide such answers. It merely gives us a perspective from which to view those problems more clearly and to solve them more effectively.
Then can you tell me why more problems aren't solved?
The answer's simple, Ellen. Because so few people bother to achieve knowledge.
Why don't more people achieve it?
Because, my dear, the one thing that mankind seems to find most difficult is thinking.
Uh-huh. Do you agree, Mr. Ravenwell? Do you find thinking very difficult?
Oh, yes, very.
Even in the South Seas?
More so in the South Seas.
Oh, yes, I suppose there are many distractions there. Tell us, are island women as beautiful as they're supposed to be?
Yes, some of them are.
Now, Ellen, this is hardly the time.
Oh, but it is. Romance is the chief characteristic of the South Seas, and I'm sure Mr. Ravenwell didn't neglect that aspect of his research. So, Mr. Ravenwell, since you and Uncle Anthony and all other professors make it your business to tie everything up in neat little packages, suppose you tell us all about romance.
I wish I could, Miss Prescott. But romance is a worldwide affliction, and not confined to the South Seas, so I could no more undertake to solve its mystery than any other man.
And you're no help at all?
None. Forgive me.
I forgive you.
Well, this has been very stimulating.
Oh, you're not leaving so early, Mr. Ravenwell.
My schedule calls for a 9 a.m. session at the library, Miss Prescott. Takes a good night's sleep to face that.
I'll see Mr. Ravenwell to the door, Catherine.
Oh. All right.
Good night, Dr. Prescott.
Let me know how your work comes along.
Indeed, I will. Good night, Miss Prescott.
Good night. Please come to see us again.
Thanks.
You've made quite a conquest, Mr. Ravenwell.
Conquest?
Yes, Uncle Anthony. I've never seen him so friendly with a stranger.
Oh, now, really?
No, that's quite true. He's terribly shy. That's the reason. Shyness runs in our family. Catherine has it, too. But you mustn't let her shyness confuse you.
I don't think I was confused. What about you?
What about me?
Are you shy, too?
Oh. My father and I escaped.
Well, we must discuss this problem at length sometime. You agreeable to that?
Quite agreeable.
Fine. Soon?
Very soon.
Good night, Ellen.
Good night, Mr. Ravenwell.
Well, hello there.
Oh, good morning.
You'd like to unburden some of those packages to me?
Oh, yes, with pleasure. Here you are. I thought you said last night you'd be spending this morning at the library.
Uh-oh. Beware a woman with a good memory. See, my brain needed an airing and my stomach needs breakfast.
You mean you haven't eaten breakfast?
Not a real one. You want to keep me company while I remedy the situation? Buy you a cup of coffee?
I'd love coffee.
Fine, where we go?
Well, this little place we're standing in front of is as good as any.
All right, let's go.
All right.
Well, you have your choice. You take the packages and I'll open the door, or I'll keep the packages and you open the door.
You keep the packages. There we are.
Gallant lady.
Oh, look, the booth's empty.
Head for it.
You can put the things down here.
Oh. Anything breakable?
No, I don't think so. Not in that one. When I shop for groceries, we eat out of cans for a week.
Oh, you usually do the shopping?
Oh, no, fortunately. But Catherine went skiing with one of her young men this morning.
So you get stuck with the shopper.
I don't mind. Catherine deserves a little fun.
Don't you?
Fun is rather wasted on me.
What'll it be, Bud?
Oh, coffee for the lady. You sure that's all you want?
Mm-hmm.
Large orange juice, ham and eggs, and toast and coffee for me.
Right.
And a glass of milk.
Right.
So fun is wasted on you. Why?
I don't know, it just is. But Catherine is different.
So?
But you don't know how wonderful she is. She's a fine person, really fine, I mean. I had a bad time once, and if it hadn't been for Cat. Well, she's wonderful, that's all. Why, some man doesn't carry her off is beyond me.
Yeah, but you, what about you?
What about me?
You talk about Catherine, but you don't talk about yourself.
I thought you wanted to know why some man didn't carry me off.
The reason for that is obvious. Men are fools.
Well, what do you want to know about me?
Whatever you want to tell me.
I'm 26. I've lived in Chatterhurst since my father died 4 years ago. Before that, I traveled all over the world with him. He was in the diplomatic service. And that's all there is.
Well, that just tells me what you've done, not what you are.
You can't tell another person what you are, can you? Still in learning, that is.
All right, then that's what I'll do.
What?
Learn what you are over a long period of time. Would you mind?
No. I don't think I would.
Especially after one of your short walks in the snow.
Are you tired?
Oh, I'm exhausted.
Oh, Dave. I don't suppose I ever will make a real New Englander out of you.
Well, be patient. You've only been at it 3 weeks.
3 weeks, just 3 weeks. I've changed in that time, though.
Not at all. You're just as lovely as ever.
No, I mean, I was dead. And you brought me back to life. Take what you said the other night. You do really love me.
More than I thought I could love anyone.
You wouldn't just say it. It isn't what you always say.
It's never been said before.
Never?
Not by me.
Pete, I'd die now if it wasn't true. Because except for you, there's no one. And I couldn't go back to being what I was before you came. I couldn't go back to that craziness.
Don't talk about it.
Yes, I must.
You sure you want to tell me?
Yes. There was someone. It was 2 years ago. I thought I was in love with him. But you mustn't mind, because it wasn't anything like this. You believe that?
Yes.
It isn't easy to tell you this.
You don't have to.
Yes, I do. I became engaged to him. And after the engagement was announced, 3 months before we were to be married, when I was buying my trousseau, suddenly, there was another girl. He married her.
Ellen, don't try to talk about it. It makes no difference.
Yes, it does. It does, because you don't know what it did to me. You don't know.
That's enough. Darling, you've said it all now. There's nothing more to be said.
Don't put on the light.
No, Catherine, I want to tell you something. Catherine, Tate and I are going to be married.
That's wonderful, dear. But not much of a surprise.
Why, do you mean it showed?
On both of you.
Oh, Cat, I love him so. And I want to be a good wife to him. I want to make him very happy. And he mustn't ever be sorry that he married me.
Well, I hope you don't say such ridiculous things to him. Have you set the date?
Early next month. There isn't any reason to wait any longer.
None.
Cat? You like him, don't you?
Like him? Of course. Why do you ask?
You're always so quiet when he's around. Almost as though you were avoiding him.
Oh, well. Do you really expect everyone else to dote on him and hang on his every word the way you do?
No, of course not. Then you do like him.
I like him and approve him. Does that satisfy you? Now run along and get some sleep.
All right. Oh, Cat, I wish you were as happy as I am.
Someday, perhaps I will be.
Good night.
Someday, perhaps I will be. Someday, when there are two Tate Raven Wills in the world, one for Ellen Prescott and the other for
Tate? Tate, darling, where are you?
In the kitchen.
I thought you were writing.
Man can't work on an empty stomach.
Well, you just had lunch an hour ago.
Well, my stomach doesn't know it.
Oh, Tate Ravenwill, you just don't want to work. You're stalling.
Have I had my early afternoon shift?
No, look, I have something to show you.
Oh, it can wait.
No, no, Tate, the cleaning woman here, she'll see it.
Well, is there something indecent about a man kissing his wife?
Oh, you're impossible.
You come here.
No, you can't master me, you brute.
Hey, no fair kick.
Oh, now look. You've torn the newspaper right where it had our names in it.
Our names?
Yes, look, right here. See, Mr. and Mrs. Tate Ravenwill have returned to Chadhurst from their wedding trip. The young couple will remain in Chadhurst for a few weeks and then spend 3 months in Mr. Ravenwill's native town of Three Crow Corners, Carolina. During that time, Mr. Ravenwill plans to complete his book on the... Well, then it goes on about the book. Tate, is that really his name? Three Crow Corners.
It is, yes.
What sort of a place is it?
Oh, there's a town and rice fields, a big swamp, a few truck farms.
Do you think your family will like me?
You think they could help us?
I hope not.
Say, how'd you like to come with me to New York tomorrow when I sign my teaching contract for next autumn? We can have dinner, see a show.
Well, that sounds very extravagant, very beautiful. There's only one thing wrong with it. Tomorrow is the day of Aunt Abby's party, and I'm the guest of honor.
No way out?
None. But look, Catherine's still visiting in New York. Why don't you treat her to that dinner and show? It would be so good for her.
You don't like being good for people.
Not even for Cat?
Not even for Cat.
Please, Tate. Please take her out.
Now look, let me make my own date.
Well, that's a fine thing. As though it were every wife who'd urge her husband to go out with somebody else.
Darling, your medal will be here in a moment for valor in the face of the green-eyed monster. Hey, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Was it something I said?
Apparently, I don't appreciate your kind of humor.
What are you talking about?
What right have you to say that I'm jealous of you? What right? Have I ever shown it, have I?
Ellen.
Even at the party Catherine gave when we first came home. Did I ever mention the way that stupid, lisping Carter girl fawned all over you? And you let her? You enjoyed it? Did I ever say anything about the way you walked up and down the beach with that silly redhead when we were on our honeymoon? And have I ever mentioned the picture you have in your desk of that half-naked South Sea Island girl? Oh, I've seen it there, even if you do keep saying that island women meant nothing to you.
That happens to be an illustration for the anthropological book, which, as you know, I happen to be writing.
Aren't there any other pictures you can use?
There are. There are about 500 other pictures. If you saw that one, you must have seen the rest of them. Is that all, is that all you have to say? Are you quite finished?
Hey, don't talk to me in that tone. Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. I'm sorry. I am jealous. I am. I'm terribly jealous of you. But forgive me, Tate. I can't help it. I try not to be. I try so hard. But that's the way I am.
And I'm in love with the way you are.
No, don't say anything more. Just hold me. It's awful to quarrel with you. And to hear you talk so coldly. Because now I know what losing you would be like. And I couldn't stand it, Tate. I'd die if I lost you.
Well, Dr. Prescott, what's your verdict?
Tate, this book of yours looks like a first-rate piece of work. At least, as far as you've gone.
Thank you, sir. I just wish it'd move along a little faster.
Oh, don't try to rush it, boy. Just let it grow. Well, so you and Ellen are off to your home tomorrow, huh? You'll enjoy the change, I expect.
She's a bit nervous about it.
And all young wives are nervous about meeting their husband's families. To be expected. Everything all right with you and Ellen?
Just fine.
Ellen is a very complicated girl.
Yes, I know that. Truthfully, there are times when I feel that her real self, the Ellen I'm in love with, is trapped somehow, caught up in some old fear. She's very jealous, you know.
Yes. You have a difficult situation to conquer there, Tate. Try to remember that jealousy is an illness and that the cure is unknown. Try to be patient. Be understanding if you can. The chances are that time will bring a cure.
She had a trying experience some years ago. Broken engagement.
It'll be all right, sir. I'm sure of it. Is Catherine about? I'd better say goodbye to her.
Well, she's in the garden, I think.
A little early in the year for gardening, isn't it?
No, not for Catherine.
Well, sir, goodbye for a while.
Goodbye, Tate. Let us hear from you.
Catherine? Hello there.
Oh, hello.
What are you working on?
These islands. I never can get them the way I want them.
Ah, you're a perfectionist.
With Iris, yes.
Remind me of my brother Ned.
Does he like Iris?
Well, I'm not sure he likes them, but he raises them. He also raises camellias and a dozen others. He wanted to be an artist, but he gave it up because he decided he wasn't good enough to be the best. So now he's a gardener.
I can understand that.
Can you? Say, will you please stop poking at that earth and get up here where a man can look at you?
But I...
This is the last time for 3 months you can rest your eyes on my angular face and you keep your head buried in the dirt. Am I going to have to lift you up?
Oh, Tate.
Come here. That's better. Now look up at me. Catherine, what's the matter?
There's nothing the matter.
You're not ill. Of
course not.
All right, if you say so, I'll believe you. I think I'd believe you. No matter what you say, I'll miss you, Kat.
I'll miss you and Ellen, too.
I wish I could understand what it is that puts you in a class by yourself.
Me?
You. Ellen came close to it one day. She said you have character with sensitiveness, softness with strength.
You and Ellen talk about me?
Oh, often.
What in the world do you find to say about me? I'm such an ordinary, dull sort of creature.
Catherine.
Yes?
I don't suppose I'll have a chance to see you before I leave, like this summer.
I don't suppose so.
Then, for goodbye's sake?
For goodbye's sake.
Now, kiss me really.
That was really.
Too busy, my dear. What is it?
I've had a letter from Ellen.
Well, let's hear it.
She says, this is just a line to tell you that we're here and to pass on to you my first impressions of Tate's old home. I must say at once that it is strange but not unbeautiful. Our house overlooks the marsh and there are white herons. It could be a lovely old house. Someone took the trouble to fix it up. It needs painting badly. But so do all the houses around here. I say around here, but the nearest one is more than 6 miles away. Some distant cousins of Tate's live there. I haven't met them yet. In fact, I haven't met anyone yet except Tate's brother, Ned, a farmer who cares more for hunting than for his farm, and Ned's wife, Marion, who, so far as I can see, doesn't care for anything. It's fearfully hot already. Every bit as hot, if not worse, than it gets in the middle of summer up there. Thank heaven we'll be gone from here by the time the real summer heat arrives. You know, darling, what heat does to me. Write soon and think of me often. Love, Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I don't think anything, my dear. I just hope for the best.
Sight.
Good clean dirt, you see, lady. Been helping Ned with his blasted gladioli.
But, darling, did you forget that company's coming?
Oh, they're here.
What?
Oh, don't worry. They didn't see me in this condition. I came up the back steps. Well, I better get cleaned up.
All right, I ran your back for you.
Good girl.
Pete, what are they like?
Who?
The Blakes, these cousins of yours.
Oh, just like other people.
You mean like other people around here?
What's that supposed to imply?
Nothing.
Come on now, what is it?
Well, it's just that... Well, whenever Marion and I go into town, they always call me Pete Ravenwill's Yankee wife.
Well, that's what you are, aren't you?
Yes, I suppose I am. And what's your Uncle Jack like?
Uncle Jack? Oh, he's a highly educated, brilliant man who, for some reason of his own, has decided to bury himself in his backwater and be a country doctor.
Is he a good doctor?
Very good. As a matter of fact, he's...
Oh, who is it?
Me, Marion. Mark, me.
Okay, go on. Get into your bath.
I'm gone.
Oh, yes, come in.
I was wondering what was keeping you. Smile at my...
Thank you.
But you look a bit pale. Is the heat bothering you?
Oh, no. I'm just not used to it yet.
Well, why don't you come on downstairs? Folks are all on the porch. A bit cooler down there.
Well, I'd rather come down with Pete.
Oh, he won't mind. Anyway, the Blakes and Uncle Jack really came over to see you. They've seen Kate already.
They have?
Cynthia Blake said Kate was at their house last week. There, too, after you got here.
Oh? Well, then, yes, I will go down with you. Pete, I'm going down with Marion now.
All right, tell him I'll get there as fast as I can.
You'll like the Blake.
Yes, I hope so.
Me and Cynthia used to be good friends.
They aren't you good friends any longer?
Oh, just to the park since I'm married. You know how it is. I can't get away from the house much.
I wish you'd let me help you with the house, now that I'm here.
Oh, no, I couldn't let you do housework.
Well, why not?
Well, it wouldn't be right. You're a guest.
A guest? Well, all right, if that's the way you want it.
Well, here she is, folks.
Yeah, here she is, folks. Here's the Yankee woman Tate brought home.
Ned, you hush up. Ellen, this is Harry Blake.
Howdy.
How do you do?
Jack Blake.
Hey, you.
And
howdy.
Tom Blake.
Howdy.
How do you do?
And Cynthia Blake. How do you do?
Hello.
And this is Uncle Jack Shaw.
Hello there, young woman. I told Tate to bring you to see me 3 days ago. Finally had to drag my old bones all the way over here for a sight of you, I did. I see it was worth it. Sit right down here next to me.
Oh, thank you.
Where is Tate, Mrs. Ravenwill?
Why, he's getting cleaned up.
Cleaned up? Is he afraid of a little dirt? Or do you make him get cleaned up?
I don't make him do anything.
A little dirt's good for you. Even I know that.
Yes, that's quite obvious.
You answer that one, Ned.
Fair on that one, Ned.
You don't bother me none. Who doesn't bother you none?
Your missus just got a good one off on Ned.
You did? What'd you say, darling?
Oh, it wasn't anything.
Mrs. Redenwood, you don't know what a compliment Harry pays you. That's his pallbearer suit he has on. He only wears it at funerals.
Yeah, don't you believe anything they say, Mrs. Ravenwill. All they do is think up stories about me.
Ah, never you mind.
Say, Ned, you know that deer hunt Harry went on last week? Know what he came back with? A pack of morning glory seeds and a dozen eggs.
Hey, Jack, you got your guitar with you?
Yeah, of course I do. What do you have, Dave?
You want to sing, Ned?
I don't. No. And you just go and play in Jack.
What'll it be first?
Whatever comes in your head. Hold on there, Jack. Stop.
Hey.
Be quiet. Listen. Tom Tom. Listen to them, Alan. First time I've heard Tom Tom since I've been back.
What are these, Keith? What are they?
The field hands. They have drums like voodoo drums. At night after the day's work is finished, they dance a little.
I don't like it.
Well, then let's have some music of our own.
All right, play something, Jack.
All right. I'll be glad to sing.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land.
Hey, I can still hear the drum.
Well, don't listen to it. Come on, sing.
We'll all sing.
Good night, ladies. We're going to leave you now.
Well, I'm a working man. Gotta get some sleep.
Yeah, me too. Say, Tate, we're going to the cockfight next Thursday. You and Mrs. drop around.
Oh, I don't think I'd like to see a cockfight.
Well, good night, Mrs. Ravenwill. We had a fine time. I don't suppose I have to tell you, you spoiled a lot of plans by marrying the nicest man we ever had around here. Come and see us, Tate. You've been away too long. Good night, Mrs. Ravenwill.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good
night. Well, I'm off too, young woman. Tate, you bring her over to see me, you hear? I'll see you soon.
So long, Uncle Jack.
Is this the first time you've seen Cynthia Blake since we got here, Tate?
Why do you ask that?
Marion said you were over at her house last week.
Well, then you know I've seen her.
She's backstairs. Even her perfume is backstairs.
Now, Ellen, if you...
And what did she mean by saying you've been away too long?
Ellen, please, don't let your imagination...
Imagination.
Was I imagining the way she followed you into the kitchen when you got the drinks? It took you an awfully long time to get those drinks. What were you two doing in there all that time?
Ellen!
No, what were you doing? And what did she mean by saying you'd been away too long?
I haven't the faintest idea. It's probably just her way of talking.
It's a rather strange way, isn't it?
I suppose so. Do you mind if we go in? I'm dog tired.
Tate, I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything. I'm not jealous of her. Truly, I'm not. I know, Tate, I want to love your people. And I want them to like me, and I want to see and love this country the way you do, but it's also very strange. And I'm frightened, Tate. I'm terribly frightened.
Ellen, honey, we can leave here tomorrow if you'd like.
No. No, I want to stay. I won't run away. And I'll be all right. Truly, I will.
Sure?
Yes. This will never happen again. I promise you. It will never happen again.
From Studio One, radio celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you are hearing Mr. Robert Mitchum starring in Wine of the Country, a version for listening by Lillian Shane of the Hamilton Basso novel. Studio One will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Mr. Robert Mitchum stars in Fletcher Markle's production of Wine of the Country by Hamilton Basso.
Tate, you got a nibble yet?
Oh, not yet, Uncle Jack.
Well, if they're not going to bite when we keep still, we might as well talk a bit. What have you been doing with yourself these past weeks?
Thinking.
Hardest work a man can do. What have you been thinking about?
Reasons why a man would want to sit down and write a book about the South Seas.
Find any reason?
Not one. Who cares about the decline and fall of Polynesian culture when our own civilization is crumbling in front of our eyes? There's no time for that sort of thing.
Oh, I don't know. If this time seems worse to you than other times, it's only because you're living in it.
I wish that were true.
What are you grappling for, boy?
Oh, Uncle Jack, for years I thought I was on the track of something. Something that would light up the blackness. Something that would answer man's old question of why he's here, what life is, what it means.
Just like the rest of him, you are.
get thrown the moment you realize that life is a thing of infinite variety and complexity. You get scared when it comes home to you that it takes more knowledge to understand a single human experience than it does to make vast generalizations about the future of the world. I have to laugh. Here are all these people making blueprints about the future, talking about waves and revolutions and cycles. And here is every individual man in his own little puddle, living, loving, begetting, dying, splashing little or splashing big, trying to find some meaning. All these arrogant fools trying to read meaning into it, as if life needed men to give it meaning.
You're trying to say what some of the books say, that it's all blind, purposeless, senseless striving?
No, I'm saying that the meaning of life is to live, to be alive. What more do you want? Something that won't make you afraid of the dark?
Is that the best you can do? Is that what you want men to live by?
Why do you keep talking about men? You're really only talking about yourself, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Well, the only thing I can do is follow the line I've been thinking. Start doing something with my hands, work with my body as well as my brain.
Where does that lead you?
Straight out of the classroom. Away from writing this blasted book.
You're going to give it all up, hmm?
I have to.
To do what?
Stay right here and help Ned grow his flowers. I think he's got the right idea.
What does Ellen think of staying here?
She doesn't know you.
What does she say?
Well, I think she's used to the place now.
What makes you think that?
Everything's been fine this past month.
But what's going on inside her that she isn't telling you about? You know, summer will be here soon. It's a tough country in the summer.
Oh, she'll be all right.
And if she isn't?
Well, in that case, I don't know what'll happen.
Made up your mind, have you?
Yep.
And I'm sorry to see you join the race, Tate.
What race?
The one where everybody's trying to get what they want by running away from what they got.
Ellen?
Yes?
You feeling better now that the rain has started?
I'm fine.
Why don't you tell the truth?
I am telling the truth. Tate, I wish that you'd let me help you.
Help you?
Yes, I mean with the farm. Couldn't I do the bookkeeping for you? I'd like to have something to do around here.
Oh, honey, you'd never be able to make head or tail of those books. When I took the place over from Ned, I didn't realize what a mess he'd made of it. We're mortgaged and... well, we've got an awful lot of debts.
Can't you get Ned to settle down and be of a little more help to you?
Oh, you know how he is, Ellen.
Well, what pleasure does he get from that incessant hunting of animals and birds? And where does he go? What does he do when he disappears for days at a time?
Don't let Ned bother you, darling. Incidentally, I believe you neglected my after-dinner kiss. Does this mean, woman, that you no longer love me?
No, don't talk like that. Not even in fun.
You're my girl?
I'll always be your girl, Tate. It's so wonderful when we're together. But we're not always together. Sometimes you go away from me. Hold me close.
Hello there, Mrs. Ravenwell. Sure glad you came.
Thank you.
Ella's never seen a cockfight, Harry. I told her something she ought to see. You got a good one fixed up for today?
The best. Ned's putting that rooster of his up against Tom's general. We all think Ned's cracked to do it. That bird of his is an amateur.
Well, Ned knows what he's doing.
It's his bird. Excuse me a minute. I've got to help Tom.
Yes, of course.
Well, young woman, I didn't expect to see you here.
Nor I to see you.
Oh, I always go to a cockfight, but not to watch the birds, to watch the people. You take my advice and do the same. You'll see something you never saw before.
Hello there, Mrs. Ravenwill. Hello, Miss Blake.
Hiya, Tate.
Hi yourself.
Mrs. Ravenwill, your husband said the awfulest thing to me yesterday.
Oh, what was that?
He said that Southern girls from the time they're 12 are taught to run after men. He said their whole approach to life is biological. Isn't he just awful?
Oh, say, they're about to begin. Let's get over there, huh?
You ready, Tom? Let's go. What's the matter? You stalling this way? You scared of losing?
The general will take that rooster yaws with one lick.
If you want to bet.
You got to bet, ain't we?
I got $10 green on the general.
I'll pick you that.
Who's referee?
How about Jack?
That suits me.
Gather around, folks.
Let's get right in front.
No, I'll stay back here.
Oh, no, honey. You got to get a real look at this. Come on, right up in front.
All right.
The thing to remember, Ellen, is the birds don't feel any pain.
Well, it's a blessing for us to think so.
You mean...
Well, this is probably true.
There's the general, darling. Tom's holding him. Isn't he a beauty?
What are those sharp spikes on his legs?
The gas. That's what they fight with.
I see.
Anyone else taking bets?
3-2 on the general.
Make it 2-1.
2-1.
Any more?
I'll take it.
You're on. Any more?
You know you think you're burning. Fight, Ned. Now get started and prove it.
Switch go.
Let's go.
All right, gentlemen. Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready?
Bill your birds.
Watch this, Ellen.
Pitch your birds.
Here it is.
Pitch.
This is it, Ellen. Watch.
Shut your mouth. It ain't over.
Come on, look at that. Look at that rooster there. He's
a scuffle. Oh, he's hung. Handle.
Separate them now, Ellen. Watch close.
I'm watching.
Pit. Handle.
Catch one for my fella. Any more of that 2-1 money around?
Oh, any fool rooster can get in a lucky leg like that.
Lucky my foot.
Pit. Handle. It's all over but the crow.
Your chicken, Blake, man. Why don't you give up?
I ain't giving up. Keep my rooster. The devil's got to kill him for his leg.
Here.
Tate, I'm going.
Going where?
I've got to get away from here.
Well, what's wrong?
I can't stand this.
Why not?
It's horrible. I can't stand it any longer.
Ellen, I'd prefer that you not make a scene here and that you stay right where you are until this is over.
The general's dead. My bird licked the general. A payoff, Tom. Payoff.
Well, what do you think of our cockfight?
Frankly, Miss Blake, I think it's the most vicious and vile spectacle I ever hoped to see.
Oh, really?
Really. Furthermore, I think that anyone who can possibly get any enjoyment out of it must be vicious and vile, too. Tate, are you coming home now?
I'm staying here for a while.
You're sure that's the way you want it?
I'm quite sure. Aren't you coming downstairs?
No.
Well, the Blakes are beginning to think it's strange that their hostess hasn't shown up.
I'm amazed to hear they even noticed my absence. However, I suppose one of them is taking full advantage of it.
What does that mean? Why don't you come out and say it? If there's anything sticking in your craw...
You'll not talk to me like that. I won't stand for your barnyard abuse.
Oh, these days everything I say is called abuse. You're getting to be impossible. Nothing pleases you anymore.
What have I got to be pleased about?
You've got nothing to be displeased about.
Haven't I?
No, you haven't.
I'll be judge of that.
Well, I'm getting tired of it. Sick and tired of it.
Tate!
Dear Catherine, I am writing to you for two reasons. First, I know you must be worried about Ellen because I know she hasn't written to you for the past 3 weeks. Second, I need your help. Your help for Ellen and for me, too. What's been happening between Ellen and me isn't her fault, and I only hope I'm right when I say it isn't mine, either. I know she still loves me, and I love her, but heaven knows what'll turn out if she doesn't get away from here for a while. She won't leave, though, and she won't let me leave. Will you write to her, Kat? Tell her you want to take a trip, that you need her to go with you. Tell her anything at all, but I beg of you, Kat, if Ellen's health and happiness mean anything to you, if you hold any hope for our future... Lunch ready, Miriam? We got to get back out to the fields.
Kate, you better go right on inside. Ellen's sick.
Sick? What's wrong?
Oh, I don't know. Uncle Jack's with her.
Where is she?
I put her in my room. So cooler there.
Ellen.
Who told you to come storming in here like that?
Ellen, what's wrong?
Nothing, Kate, nothing.
What's wrong with Uncle Jack?
She said it. Nothing. Nothing that won't be cured by getting her out of this heat. Well, I've got 4 children waiting to be born in a case of the measles back in town. Now, you follow my advice, young woman.
Yes, I'll think about it.
Now, you do it. I'll drop around tonight. Keep an eye on the teacher.
All right. Is there anything I can do, Ellen?
No. Not a thing.
What did Uncle Jack advise?
Oh, he wants me to leave here for the rest of the summer.
Well, why don't you do it? Ellen, why do you want to make yourself sick? I can't see you looking like this. Ellen, please, be sensible. Go for a trip with Catherine. You can have a fine time together, and then after the summer's over...
Oh, why don't you say it? Why don't you say that you want to get rid of me?
Won't you try to understand?
I do understand. Perfect.
Let's not talk about it anymore now. You think it'll...
I don't have to think. I know that you're sorry you ever married me. I know that. Why shouldn't you be sorry?
Please, Ellen, please.
Why shouldn't you? Haven't I made these last few months a nightmare for you? Well, haven't I? Answer me.
Ellen, please.
Oh, stop saying please, Ellen, please, as though you were an idiot. Do you think I don't know why everybody here hates me? I don't belong here, that's all. I'm not one of them. I'm different. All right, I'm a Yankee woman. I can't help it.
Ellen.
And now,
Ellen.
How you've engineered this elaborate conspiracy to get rid of me. You'll do anything for a little peace, won't you? Even if it's just for a few months. Do you think that I didn't know about it? Catherine told me that you wrote to her, that you asked her to suggest a trip. Because you were worried about my health, you told her. Because you want to get rid of me, you mean. She told me all about it. And you really thought I didn't know.
Stop that. Stop, I tell you.
Oh, don't you come near me.
You stop it or I'll shake you to
the bone. Oh, you don't.
Stop it.
Let go of me.
Not until you stop.
Let go of me.
Ella.
I didn't mean to do that, Kate. I didn't. Kate, that wasn't me talking. It wasn't. It was the fever. It was just this place. You know that's what it was? You know that, don't you?
Yes, darling.
And you're right, too. I've got to get away. And I'll write to Catherine and... Oh, no, you... You go out. You send Catherine a wire. And then she'll come here. And she and I will go for a long trip. I've got to get away from this place. Cat, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, Cat, I'm so glad.
Not half as glad as I am to be here. Let me look at
you. No, don't. I'm awful to look at.
Kate says you've been very sick these past few days.
Kind of him to put it that way. I've been out of my head.
Nonsense.
No, it's true. I know the queer things I've been doing, Cat. When you're just beginning to go mad, you still realize that the things you do are queer?
Ellen, don't talk.
Cat, you don't know what it's been like here. No, you don't know it's this awful heat day and night without a break.
We'll be out of it soon, dear. Everything will be all right. Now lie back in bed. Oh, I didn't come here to get you all upset.
Where are you going now?
Marion picked me the most wonderful smelling breath. I'll swallow it in a minute and come right back here.
Yes.
You and I have lots of plans to make about our trip.
Oh, yes, we do our trip.
I promise you'll rest quietly until I come back.
Yes, I promise.
I won't be long.
It's the trip. It's come. Here, no. Well, I'm not going for a trip. I'm going to go away forever. And it'll be forever. Because once he's free for a while, once he's free of my moods and my nerves and my craziness, he won't let me come back. Why should he let me come back? And if I leave now, then I'll never see him again. If I go, it'll be the end. But if I stay, it'll be the end, too. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? I could stay here 7 months a year and then go away for 5 months when it gets hot. But it isn't only the heat. It's this place. It's alive. And it creeps. I'll go mad if I stay here. I'm a little mad as it is. I'm not mad. How do I know I'm not mad already? Because it's happening. I know it's happening. Oh, God, get me out of here before it happens. It's this place. Oh, no, I can't leave him. He's all I have. Without him, there'll be nothing. Yes, I am mad. I'm beginning to hear noises in my head. No. That's real. That's thunder. There'll be rain. And the rain will bring coolness. And I won't have to go away. And I can stay with him. It's going to rain. I can stay with him and it's going to rain.
Doing out here? Get back in the house.
No.
Get back in the bed.
No, Marion, no. I've got to see him.
Well,
where is Tate? Where is he?
He and Catherine went for a walk in the swamp. I wish they'd get back. That rain's going to break soon.
Catherine said she'd come back to me.
Well, she did. They both did. You were sound asleep.
Sleep? I don't remember being asleep. I was not asleep.
You sure were.
Which way did they go?
Down the swamp path. Why? Where are you going?
I've got to find them. I've got to tell them I don't have to leave. I can stay with him now. It's going to rain!
This country of yours is very beautiful, Tate.
You really like it?
I don't know whether like is the word for it, but certainly fascinated. I'm not used to having orchids grow under my feet.
Fitting carpet for you.
My, how gallant you've become.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here, Kath. You're a real good luck piece. The moment you're around, everything turns right side up again. I'm still trying to figure out your secret, you know.
Well, it really isn't worth the effort.
No, I disagree. Anyone who can have the effect you have on people should be forced to tell how they do it. Why, within 5 minutes, you had Marion jabbering away and laughing like I've never heard her before. She even let you wash the dishes.
Is that a great favor?
Marion doesn't let guests work in her house.
But I'm not a guest.
That's what I mean.
Oh, Tate, what kind of flower is that?
Snake mouth.
Such lovely things grow wild here in the swamp?
Yes, they do. Like to have one?
Oh, yes.
Nothing simpler. There you are.
Mm. How perfect it is.
Catherine?
Yes?
For hello's sake?
For hello's sake.
Catherine.
There's nothing to be done about it, Dave. Nothing to be done except to forget. This isn't a good place to get caught in a storm, is it?
Couldn't be worse. It'll come down in a rush now. We'll have to make a dash for the house. Come on.
Well, I do hope Ellen doesn't wake up before we get back. She'll be worried and upset. No. It can't be Catherine and Tate. Oh, but it's true. It's true, the two people I love most. Oh, no, no, no. They don't know that I saw. They don't know that I know. I've got to get away so they'll never know. I've got to run far away. Far away!
Come in, dear.
There's a letter from Tate.
Yes? Read it, my dear, read it.
He says, I thought you'd want to know that I'm beginning, at last, to wake up from the nightmare of these past 3 months since Ellen's death. Of course, there are times when I live over in the space of a few seconds.
The full terror and horror of that 6 day search in the swamp. I again stumble over every upturned tree. I again feel my feet sink into the mire. I again see that crumpled form huddled against the storm. Now there are many empty places in the house, and it's our nature to try to fill empty places with words. You'd be surprised to learn I finished my book. Yes, I went back to it. I came to my senses. Some of us, you know, have to walk through terror to reach peace. What I did, I had to do. But it was because I made one terrible error. I distrusted the value of knowledge. For the time, I forgot what your father once said, that knowledge cannot give us the answers to our problems. It can only give us the perspective from which to view them clearly. Having forgotten that, I then tried to make myself into something I was not. Failing to realize that the penalty of denying your own nature is destruction. I plan to continue my writing without going back to teaching.
The farm is going well, and I can combine the two interests. I'll send you the very first jonquils that appear. Daddy.
Yes, Catherine?
Someday I'm going to him.
Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Mr. Robert Mitchum, starring in Fletcher Markle's production of Wine of the Country by Hamilton Basso. Another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Lillian Shane, and the original score was composed by Norman Lockwood and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground,
Tate Ravenwill
was played, of course, by Mr. Mitchum, soon to be seen in the RKO picture, Rachel and the Stranger.
Ellen Prescott
was played by Mercedes McCambridge.
Catherine Prescott
was Connie Lemke.
Uncle Jack
was Everett Sloan.
Dr. Prescott
was Robert Dryden.
Marion Blake
was played by Hala Stoddard. Miriam Wolfe was Cynthia. Bartlett Robinson was Ned. And Tom and Harry Blake were played by Ian McAllister and John Merlin. Mandel Kramer, Ivor Francis, Hedley Rennie, and Louis Quinn assisted. Tom Scott was the man with the guitar and the song. Next week from Studio One, we present you with the final work of a very great American author, whose writing is almost unknown to radio. As native to his time and place as Mark Twain was, and as Sherwood Anderson was, and as Ernest Hemingway is, this writer is our most reliable authority on the brightness and music and confusion of young Americans in and out of love. I'm speaking so warmly, of course, of the late F. Scott Fitzgerald. And next week we bring you his full-length portrait on a typewriter of a very influential man on the American scene, Hollywood's producer of motion pictures. The name of Mr. Fitzgerald's producer is Monroe Starr, and his story, told by the woman who thought she knew him best, is called The Last Tycoon. It's a very wonderful and special story. And to help bring it to life for you, we're having with us in Studio One next week a very wonderful and special star, the most accomplished lady of Broadway and Hollywood, Miss Betty Field. We hope you'll be with us. And now until next week, until Betty Field in The Last Tycoon, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is Lee Vines, and this is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week for Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.